Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome to the Creep
Dive Showbiz.
That's showbiz, baby.
Welcome in. This is the Creep Dive, a podcast where the three of us tell each other stories, some of which we've told each other before. Welcome. Today is Tuesday.
It is.
I am a member of a rowing club as of last night. Rowing on the high seas of Dunleary, and the RNLI came by to give me and the other noobs a talk about staying alive.
I thought it was going to be a cavity search.
Well, we passed around.
RNLI just sounds like we need to check now that you don't have any, you know, boils. That would be a sign of you having RNLI. Like,
yeah.
The hell is the RNLI stand for? Royal National
Life Guarding
Silly
Institution.
Royal National Lifeguarding Silly Institution. Why is Royal Safety involved? You regional?
Fucking the monarchy.
Fucking sticking fucking their oar in. Get it?
Yeah.
So we were all standing around a big boat and the RNLI people came to give us a safety talk and it was thrilling. We talked about how to die and how not to die. Number one thing that you need for safety on the water?
Confidence.
No.
I did it.
A whistle. Would you have guessed that? I guessed it and I was right.
Royal National Lifeboat Institution.
Yeah. We need to cut the royal out of that.
Let's not get like that so early on early in the podcast.
Well, all I have to say is I'm going to be a star rowing champion.
I've no doubt in my mind that you will be.
I think I'm going, like, I'm not good at it. It's really, really hard. Very hard. And I talked my way through the first thing.
It doesn't look fun. There's so many ways to move faster through water. That's way funner.
That absolutely is. That's definitely true.
Are you moving so slowly
through water? The Viking Splash Tour?
When, like, the Viking Splash Tour. Do you know I took... Well, when I say I took,
that was my
Jen's hen. Was Viking's Flash Tour was a part of Jen's hen.
Oh, I didn't know you then because I wasn't legally able to drink, so I couldn't go.
It was absolutely amazing.
It's actually tragically true.
Probably is.
It was amazing. We also shot guns.
Yep, we shot guns. God, I got a full hen.
It was the first and only hen that I've ever been involved in. And so it got all of my energy. Mm. And then if anyone ever needed me to plan a hen again, sadly, no.
One major event.
I blew my load.
That
literally
could have gone wrong.
Good at the gun shooting.
Yeah.
Like, surprisingly.
it is surprising.
What could have gone wrong with the gun shooting lots?
Well, we sat down to eat a dinner and one of us was allergic deathly to peanuts. And didn't they serve her a plate of peanuts?
I fucking like the, didn't know.
I did she fucking did, tell
everyone
them.
Knew.
But she ate them.
They were kind of mixed. Like when I was after the fact, I was like, Mary, they were there in front of your face and you shoveled them into your
That's
mouth.
That's real victim blaming now.
We probably had brawn the sauce the whole day, but for God's sake.
You'd recognise a peanut, especially having not had one for your life.
I think so. And I think maybe she was like, she did say, I remember that she was like, woof, I was enjoying it. Like,
absolutely.
Because don't we all attract what we fear most in the end? She's away. She is beating nuts off. Like there's no tomorrow. Everywhere that woman goes, nuts.
It's, yeah, because it's called the law of attraction.
Then I was thinking the other day, only yesterday I was thinking this, and it's true and it's not a novel thought, but every day the world is trying to kill you in every way possible. Bacteria are trying to eat into your lungs, give you pneumonia.
Yeah.
Everything alive is trying to kill you and eat you. Like my mum was giving out about someone, one of her mates not buying rounds. And I was like, there you go again. Parasites.
What?
A parasite in the group. Parasiticking around, not buying rounds.
Who are we talking about recently that doesn't buy rounds? And somebody was at a free bar and was like, oh.
Here we go.
Oh, it'll be their round now, sure. Is there anything, for international creeps, there is truly nothing more egregious than not doing your round in Ireland. Like, you could, in the pub, stab someone straight through the head. And, like, if you hadn't stood your round, people would be talking more about that.
Yeah, Ali had a piece on this in the papers this weekend. Did she? From her book, you know her book.
Ali Dunworth, a creep who has just published a book.
About pies. Fucking,
congratulations. Everyone must buy it. What is it called again? It's Pints.
Pints, I think, is the name of
it. I'll check that because we need to promo. I've seen,
and it's illustrated by Stephen Heffernan. It looks gorgeous. And I read the excerpt. I didn't buy the paper. I held on to her story and read it in tiny font. It was
very good.
It was the rules of a round.
Here we go. A compendium of Irish pints.
Yeah.
This is so good, especially for international creeps, that it delves into the culture, customs and cracks surrounding pints in Ireland. From airport pints, we all know, to unplanned pints, to the pints that destroy your life. Oh, no, that's just me.
Well, shout out to, if you are one of those people who are not buying rounds, just let it be known. It's noticed.
Oh,
you're not getting away with anything.
Here's the rules, I think, as well, that I'm going to bring in. Maybe controversially.
Go on.
If you bring someone new into a group, right?
Yeah.
You're buying their rounds, is it?
No, you're introducing them to people. Like someone you're dating or like a friend of a friend or some eager beaver who wants to come for pints, right? Yeah. You need that new person, the sooner they get the pints, the more liked they'll be.
So immediately, on landing.
My
on
friend Ruth's husband, Owen, I adore. And it is because within 5 minutes of meeting him, he said, here, I'll get you a drink and pint. I've just never forgotten it. I was like, he's a keeper. And they've been together 15 years now.
Wow.
Yeah. And I still love him as much to this day.
Does she?
Yeah.
Love that for them. Now, I've kind of forgotten what we're doing here.
Telling stories. The Creep Dive. Just, did you want to add anything more about your rowing?
If you do the sea rowing, can you let me know how to do it?
When does it get fun?
So basically, nobody at any point was instructing how. So I think it's a learn as you go.
Assumed thing.
I think, well, it's hard. I did it. It was bad. They said you just keep the head down, keep going at it. But
why don't you try St. Patrick's up in Ringsend?
Sophie, the wait list.
In St. Patrick's?
You wouldn't believe.
I see them every single day on the, because you can see them from Trowbridge on my commute.
People
veering. We're veering.
But unless anyone wants to talk about hobbies they've taken up recently. Sophie, any new hobbies?
Interesting question. Is it that you want to be asked what new hobbies you've taken up?
No, I've took up my allotment up there. Much to say, and it's gorgeous up there. With Phoebe from Forager, also a big creep. Shout out to her, has organised this for everyone, and it's gorgeous, and it's wholesome, and it's beautiful.
Okay, I've got a big example of the law of attraction. So there's our segue.
Go.
So this is what we actually did by starting... Sorry, I just saw the eyebrows on your one.
Oh, sorry, gosh.
Jen's got a little okay. Creep. We're looking forward to that creep of the week from Yorkshire.ie. So hang on one sec, Jen.
I'll take it
Shit,
away.
I've lost it now. I've seen her. Okay, but back. So us three have been engaging in a kind of a long 5.5 year law of attraction endeavor by putting out every week to the universe the things we love, and then the universe sends them back via our amazing creeps. So yeah. For example, like, I was born into this world and I love dismemberment and cannibalism and 9/11 and Titanic and Columbine, and all I get all the live long day is people sending me those things. Yeah. And I fucking love them. And this just in from at Laura_A_Brown with an E. This is very hot off the presses. So she has sent me a story that is developing, is what it's been described as, breaking now, according to CBS 8, which I presume is an untrustworthy regional channel in America. Luckily, I did a bit more legwork just to get up some more, edifying coverage, courtesy of the Daily Mail.
Love it.
Their headline has come through.
Oh.
In a big way. There is 47 words in the headline. Some of them are all caps.
Go on.
Okay. I'm going to do the all caps in a slightly louder pitch so we can all get the full effect. Here we go. Man, 31, accused of murder on Las Vegas Strip and then eating the victim's face at a bus stop when police arrived.
Look at them.
So I wrote that headline. Eating the victim's
murder
face.
Murder on Las Vegas Strip and eating the victim's face at a bus. Wow.
It's fully like what somebody just, somebody in the Daily Mail news desk actually just sent that exact text into a group chat that they're in, and then they just copy pasted it into the headline.
Yeah. Get it up and edit later. Get it up and you can change it whenever you need to.
I'll soften that so it's less glib in the edit. Okay, so Colin Check was spotted by cops eating the ear and an eyeball of his victim. So this has literally happened at the time of record 3 hours ago.
What the fuck?
Today.
Did he take it off the body?
So here we go.
Or did he drag it, or the whole thing, body with him to the bus stop?
Come with me to Las Vegas and I'll tell you about
that. All right, let's go.
I can never go to Vegas. I'm too
sensitive. Too confident, I think.
No, I get a giddy from a gamble, I do, and I'm not a lucky ducky.
Oh yeah, oh my God. I could see that. Yeah.
You're very impulsive.
Big slots energy from you.
Incredibly impulsive, it's an issue.
Like, you have a huge living being representation of your impulsivity.
That bloody dog.
Thank you for everyone, my oldest son, feedback for the dog help. I took some great comments, and it's nice to know that other people also hate their
Loads
dogs.
Of people were suffering.
Loads of people are suffering. She has calmed down. We're bonding better now. We're up the mountains a lot together. We came across a crime scene one day. Remember that? That was thrilling. Yeah. Told you guys.
And you freaked out some tourists?
Freaked out some tourists, yeah. All right.
Okay. Things are looking up.
Speaking of freaked out tourists, back to Las Vegas. So it was 4:45 a.m. on Sunday, just gone there. That's yesterday. Colin arrested on Las Vegas Boulevard. So somebody had called the cops and been like, there's two men fighting. Can you come and stop them? The police found the two lads, and one of them was unresponsive and bleeding from his head.
Oh dear.
And there was Colin. I love that his name is Colin. Desperately normal Dan, is it? Colin.
Ordinary day.
I can't hear Colin without Colin.
Colin.
Colin. What's that from? Is it?
Good question.
Colin. Okay, anyway. So they said that beside the guy who was bleeding from the head and not responding was Colin, kneeling on the ground with, quote, biological matter in his hair, mouth and on his clothing.
What?
What? He said that the victim had attacked him and that he was homeless.
The victim?
It's actually worded weirdly, no offence to Taran Pedler. But I'm not, he was homeless. Okay. He reportedly told the officers that the victim had attacked him and that he was homeless.
Okay.
Listen, with that construction, it could go either way. It's on a knife edge grammatically, but I think it is Colin who is homeless.
Okay.
And obviously the police had just spotted him eating the ear and the eyeball of the other man. Paramedics rushed the victim, who was, oh Jesus, this guy's
still alive.
Name. Kenneth.
Kenneth and Colin.
Colin and Kenneth.
Colin and Kenneth. Oh my God, they're having a bad day. Anyway, he was pronounced dead at hospital.
God love him.
It was, yeah.
You do think to yourself, though, we don't know all the facts.
Missing eye and ear.
He could have been an absolute prick. Kenneth
could, now, Colin was in police custody, right? And he kept kind of nodding off.
Oh dear.
Not drugs. Apparently he'd been awake for 5 days straight. Okay, so maybe
must
drugs.
Must have been.
But not the drugs we're thinking of. I don't think he was like nodding out. I think he was genuinely very tired.
Trying to sleep.
Very tired.
What a terrible dream to wake up to realise 'twas reality.
Yeah. Oh. So he was having a bit of an unreality moment because he was there like he believed that something was possessing him.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, right.
Well, something
I
was.
Hate to say it, but relatable. I had that same delusion in 2018. It was
believable,
really scary, and it was around Halloween time. Anyway, he was arrested, charged with murder, and he's got he's been admitted to hospital himself, which
good.
Seems appropriate, and yeah. So, like, we're early days on this one. I can't imagine there isn't any CCTV, and I can't imagine that won't go around TikTok.
Would he have eaten the eyeball, like popped it out and popped it in to his gob? Eyeball and ear.
Like, sounds like popped like a grape, maybe.
Oh. It sounds bigger than you think it is.
An eyeball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever eat a fish's eyeball?
No.
Me neither.
But I wouldn't not.
I'm the same. Yeah. I hear there's a crunch. Is there cornea?
I think there's nothing I wouldn't. If you told me it was going to be delicious, I'd believe you.
You'd try it.
I would, yeah.
Do we have a
picture? Oysters are weird, but we eat them.
Oysters are absolutely weird.
Aren't they? There's so many things we eat that are weird. Because some people have been like, no, they're not weird.
Plants. Like, who decided some of the plants were edible and some weren't?
Animals.
Oh. But, like, we're not eating grass.
No, isn't that funny that you can eat green things and call it a salad, but if you were to eat grass, you'd be weird?
Exactly.
I just don't think grass has very nice flavour.
Yeah, we've all tried it.
Of course we have.
By the way, the amount of comments on last week's Patreon episode.
Oh, the metal episode.
I can't believe that the...
As I was scrolling them, I started to get freaked out that we were hating on the metal squad too much.
I was.
And then I was scrolling the comments and I was like, no, I think we're okay.
I think we were the right side of...
I think so.
Like, bemused, amused, and also intrigued. So, yes. You know, given it... do we want to hear from some of the creeps or will we put them on... Will we do it on the Hive?
Maybe hive it up.
So listen, main feeders, there now is a solid episode.
Oh, that's a good
one.
If
you wanted to, if now's the time, maybe there is an episode about the Norwegian black metal scene that has attracted a lot of feedback in the comments.
If you were listening to
a lot of people with like insider stuff, we'll read it. We're going to read it all to you guys on the Patreon.
If you were... listening to this episode and you're like, I can't get enough of these women.
Ad free.
And I want them ad free. There are 400 posts on the Patreon.
Oh my God.
Cool. 400.
Yeah.
And like, I'd say that's like, it's probably not that many of them that are not full episodes.
Oh, I'd say at least 300 are episodes.
Yeah, yeah. That's
a lot of content.
Well, insane, no, even more, I'd say, because we were weekly there. We've been weekly there for 300
years.
Weeks.
That's three years.
That's longer than the Creep Dive's been going.
That is the Creep Dive oove over there if you want to get stuck in. Okay, Jen, you better just give us what you
All right,
no,
I just got a few headlines
it's
for
so
us.
It's so good.
So, It's a woman. I have headlines. I have no further questions.
I love okay. that.
Yeah.
Mum threatened with social services because of her huge eyebrows. You say to yourself, that can't be right. And then take a look at this.
Now, you would.
Now, what's happened here is I don't even know how to explain how large these tattooed eyebrows are on somebody's
They're
face.
They're tattooed on her face?
Looks to be, Cass. Looks to be. Anyway, she... no more questions.
End of
They're
that.
The size of two small Ford cars.
Absolutely right. And she's going for it.
There's a few now Irish influencers not far behind that.
Listen, it was all the rage. But we're heading back into
Jen
the skinny eyebrow
got
territory.
Very spicy on Mother of Pod yesterday. And I'm feeling...
The VIP close. Awards.
Oh, girls, I'll listen to that now.
You should give that a listen.
I love that. So, I will love that. I love the get-up. The get-up at
oh,
the awards.
Oh, the style.
Well, something
the
happened
ring-outs.
In okay. Portsmouth.
What was he up to?
March 22nd, 2022. Man fined for pretending to be ghost in Portsmouth Cemetery. Police spokesman said
good
witnesses
place to do it.
Complained about Anthony Stallard throwing his arms in the air and saying, woo. Hard. It would be a hard thing to swallow at your grandfather's funeral.
And then he was fined.
Yep.
Some might say he was Beetle-goosed.
Jesus.
That was good.
Beetle-goosed.
Yeah.
Nice.
No, she didn't like it. She
no, it was
she doesn't
good.
Think it's
it was good.
Good.
I do think it was good.
No, you do. I know. You're sweet. Thanks.
Jen, not
Jen,
so much.
Not so much.
So listen, I don't know how much further I can go along with that because I have something brewing so oh. intensely inside me.
Are you going to go for it? You can take it.
I think so.
Yeah, I think it's a good time to do it.
And it's...
I can't believe we haven't done this before.
I know. I don't know why. Maybe it was just so massive or... Like, I'm not the one to be telling this story, really.
Oh my God, no, you are. And also, the fact that I make us all record the creep dive essentially inside my bed.
That's true.
Makes me want to, like, we all get tucked in and, like, fully curl up and Jen, story time with Jen.
I'll fall asleep because I'm feeling a little congested.
Let's do a Closey's Instagram story of our studio setup. You can give them a tour of my desk behind you as well.
I want to bring people's attention.
The skull is behind the laundry.
I'm just going to talk directly over this. I may be preaching to the choir here already. Nope. But if you're on the tickety talk, you might have come across
just shove them on the
a young lady.
Oh, beautiful.
Who, am I keeping going here?
Yeah, we're listening.
We're just doing a brief photo
shoot. No, we're listening to you.
Good, okay, I'm going to keep talking. So who has decided, her name is Kiki Shear. She has shared a theory that other people have also shared over the years.
Oh, yeah. Everyone always thinks they've got the brand new theory. And then everyone else is like, I sent this years ago.
I know. So the theory she has decided is who Jack the Ripper actually was. And she is suggesting that Jack the Ripper could, believe it or not, be French painter Edgar Degas.
Oh yeah, I haven't gone deep in this yet, but I saw it.
So Degas, you'll know his paintings and his sculptures. He's
loved the ballerinas,
little girl ballerinas.
Mm. But, I mean, actually, when viewed now through 2024 eyes,
oh no, absolutely creep a creepy marathon of artwork, because in each and every one of his paintings there's a leering little man, every fucking one nearly.
It's so weird.
A
I didn't
shadowy
know that
figure.
He was alive at the same time as Woody Allen.
So Kiki on her nice Kiki on her tickety talk said about Degas that he was a well-known misogynist. He was degrading, horrible, and a kind of a misanthrope of a person. And nobody wanted to be around him. But he was wealthy, well-connected, and he was a success in his time. Lived in Paris, which was only a short train ride away from London where the murders occurred. So he was known to frequently travel between the cities and could have easily been committing murders while in London.
Was the Channel Tunnel around at that time?
The Channel Tunnel? Oh, I don't know.
What the fuck?
I don't know. Let's just keep rolling. So it's a real long story.
Okay. Does someone do research in the background?
Yes, both of you have a computer.
Okay, I'll get on the channel.
I'm doing the BTS.
Okay, nice. So the height of Jack Ripper's murderous reign, Degas is documented as taking trips there. He was there at the time. But so were millions of other people.
Have you got a list of the suspects?
I have so much information.
Amazing.
So,
amazing.
Let's begin. So that kind of that tickled my wickle. And I got a semi and I said, I'm going to work this into a full boner and see if I can bring it to a climax.
And bring myself off.
So in a typically me way, I will deliver a messy, lengthy story.
Woohoo.
You'll have many questions. I won't have many answers. My recommendation is just go with the flow. So let's buckle in as we take a look at the most infamous serial killer of all time. I'm going to say that. Do you not believe? Okay, already.
Sorry. 1988 for the channel tunnel. I just did
1988.
I just did the most boring Google search of all time. Channel tunnel built.
Look,
I'm Colin or Kenneth. Okay,
the first of many misinformation moments. Back in Jack the Ripper. So it. Can we peek lib on this one because it was so long ago.
So long ago.
Right. Hundreds of suspects have been named for this case and there is no answer.
It's maddening, isn't
it? I'm going to give you 8 suspects after I go through a collection of his murders. So okay. Basically, I'm going to give you 5 murders. People say there could be 11 or even more.
Okay.
Because there was kind of a bit of hysteria going around at the time about the whole thing. Also, London in the year 1888 is so depressing and so bleak. No, that's
You'd
it.
Nearly be throwing yourself at the serial killers just being
so
like, just
little
fucking
gossip.
End it. I've had that when I go away to work on, you know, if I'm doing a writing week and I'm fucking trying to finish a book and there's a deadline and all this shit, I often go to like places quite like, you know.
Like the book.
Shed in the middle of nowhere types of places. And I leave the door unlocked because I think, look, if someone comes in and murders me, I don't have to deal with this deadline anymore. And then in the mornings when I wake up alive, I'm like, well, rude.
Rude.
Fucking rude. Rude of them not to.
Let's go. The year is 1888. The location, a filth-filled street, badly lit in the East End of London. So we're in the Whitechapel district, and this is an area known for violence and crime.
And Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd. We've got a lot of poverty, a lot
musicals.
Of musicals.
Oliver Twist. We got breaking out in song.
Busty sex workers bustling around, etc., etc. And everything was, you know, rattling along in a miserable way. And then suddenly a string of murders begun to terrorise the public in a way nobody had ever experienced before.
Wow.
But it was really great. It was very gruesome.
Do you think he's kind of the original, like, slasher serial killer?
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
I guess so. Like, for sure there was other shit going on, but...
Yeah, Germany had a few lads. There was that guy, Peter.
Okay, get back in. We can't, we have no time.
We've no time for glibness.
So we've got a load, well, we've got a few murders and we have zero motive. So it's Jack the Ripper and we're going in.
Like,
have we not said Jack the Ripper yet?
My notes have said it again, so I will say
it
again.
Sorry. No, I was laughing.
Is the motive just not that murder is fun?
You'll see when I talk about the victims how weird things were happening. Okay. So basically, most believe that Jack claimed the lives of only 5. And those 5 that we're going to discuss now are referred to as the canonical 5.
Okay.
So others talked about 11, but all 5 of the canonical 5 were sex workers, as many women were in this district, Whitechapel. Many had to turn to sex work as a way to survive. Many were doing it by choice. I don't know. The morbid intrigue is not a recent development, right? So back then, at the time of the murders, literacy was increasing. So among the general public, suddenly more and more people could read. Mm. So newspapers were gaining traction as the very first form of social media.
Oh my God, RIP newspapers.
Exactly. So the murders begun to be covered in the newspapers and the public were enthralled, fascinated and very upset because of the consistent failed attempts to identify who the fuck this guy was. So it was, there was so much outrage about the police and the investigation at the time that the police commissioner and the Home Secretary of the time eventually resigned over this. So let's go and head into a little timeline arena. So August 31st, 1888, 3:40 a.m., the body of Mary Ann Nichols was found in Bucks Row in Whitechapel. A body. The body was discovered by this guy called Charles Cross. He claims he was just walking along and he noticed a bundle of clothing, or what he thought was just clothing, towards the end of the western end. So another man was with Cross. Cross was like, shit, what's that? Another guy, this guy Robert Paul, approached the body with Cross. And then eventually the police would arrive at the scene. So Mary Ann Nichols was found on her back, face up, throat severely slashed. But that wasn't all. She was disemboweled. It was brutal. So I'm just going to give you, would you like a little bit more detail about her, what had actually gone downtown with her?
Mm. Absolutely. What's that kid doing in the microwave down?
That's school, a school band's bag. So boy turns up carrying books in a microwave. A very large segue. Internet very slow. So here we have, God help her. So yes, she was sort of filleted across the neck there, eyes open, legs straight, skirt raised above her knees, left hand touching the gate of a stable entrance that was beside her. She was, the guy, Paul and Cross, who eventually came across her, pulled her skirt down to cover her lower body and then headed to get the police. So Cross informed the constable upon arrival that she looks to me to be either dead or drunk, but for my part I believe she's dead. Thank you. Very unhelpful of you.
Did they
query
what?
I don't know. So anyway, it was determined that she had been only dead for about half an hour, meaning the killer was very close by. So on we go, rolling onwards to September 8th, 1888, another body of Annie Chapman was found at 29 Hanbury Street. Her body discovered by a man called John Davies. He was an elderly kind of resident of the building. Again, her throat was cut, but this time the violence escalated in that the murderer took her womb.
Oh my God.
So why is the question? We just don't know. But these were so eye-wateringly gruesome scenes to come across on the road like that.
Oh my God.
So the approximate
time, sorry, between the first and the second?
So September 8th was the second, and so August, like 31st. Exactly.
Less.
August, first. September. So yes, we're like about a week in it.
Fucking hell. Mm-hmm. I love us being completely, like, clinically unable to do math there.
Sorry, in a
me
very
kept saying the wrong one.
In a slight segue and in a very insensitive post, someone used AI to and research materials to achieve the first rendering of what they thought he might look like, and the New York Post has covered it. And their opening line is, "Move over, Ted Bundy. There's a new old serial hottie in town."
Oh my God.
Because now I do have to say,
bad
cheekbones for days on this AI image.
The glibness of that.
Goo.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't kick him out of bed.
He's guys. Giving early Johnny Depp.
He's giving another problematic character.
Well, I'm still allowed to reference that he
so
exists.
At this time, we've got two...
Still have eyes.
He still used to be hot and now he looks like somebody's fucking aunt on holidays in Tenerife.
It's Barry Keoghan moment.
He's very tanned now.
Back in the room, Dr. George Baxter Phillips was this guy serving as the divisional police surgeon at the time. So they were like, what the fuck? Two of these women, who has done this? Let's ask a doctor. And he proposed the idea that the killer had an anatomical knowledge.
Interesting.
And he kind of decided that by the manner in which Annie Chapman's womb was removed. So his suggestion was a doctor. Or somebody else with anatomical knowledge. And can you, like, who the fuck else might have anatomical knowledge? An artist.
Someone who studies the female form.
Yes, all like those classical painters would have studied cadavers and been at all the dissections.
Would
so,
they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Facts.
Facts. So, later that month, September 27th, the Central News Agency received a letter.
From the perpetrator?
Perhaps if they'd called him Dr. Ripper, he would have come forward.
Well, he called himself Jack the Ripper, as I'll tell you. So, the letter comes into the news agency from the apparent killer, and it reads, this has to be Churchill. Dear boss, I keep hearing... On the Dear boss, I keep on hearing the police have caught me, but they won't fix me just yet. I have laughed when they look so clever and talk about being on the right track. That joke about leather apron gave me real fits. I am down on whores and shan't quit ripping them till I get buckled. Grand work the last job was. I gave the lady no time to squeal. How can they catch me now? I love my work.
That's fucking sinister, Jen.
And I want to start again. You will soon hear of me with my funny little games. Saved some of the proper red stuff in a ginger beer bottle over the last job to write with, but it went thick like glue. I can't use it. Red ink is fit enough, I hope. Ha, ha.
That was such a performance.
There's more.
That's fucking terrifying. Yeah. That's not Winston at all. You've just introduced Jack the Ripper.
Yeah. I've just done Jack.
That's really good. Jesus.
The next job I shall clip the lady's ears off and send to the police officer.
It's not dissimilar to Cat Slater now, I will say. Just end, please end the letter with "you are not my mother."
All right, wait. And send the cut the lady's ears off and send to the police officer just for jolly, wouldn't you? Keep this letter back till I do a bit more work, then give it out straight. My knife is so sharp. I don't want to get to work right away, but I will if I get a chance. Good luck. Yours truly, Jack the Ripper.
That was phenomenal now.
Fucking phenomenal.
Do you read bedtime stories to your children like that?
Do you know what's so funny about that?
Yeah.
And a VIP style award.
Thank you. So he wrote ha ha, and I thought, that's funny.
Yeah. Because
that kind of language was on the go then.
Law was introduced in 1988.
LMAO.
Yeah.
TPQH, I'm going to snip her ears.
TBH.
So, the letter comes through. Everyone's like, oh, well, they don't know whether it's real or not. This is probably one of the first cases, or documented cases, of people claiming to be a murderer, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
A bit of, but they didn't release the letter to the public until October 1st. Because many of the journos were like, well, look, we can't believe this. And Anyway, they released it. It made its way to the papers. And once in the eye of the public, the name stuck, of course. And the killer from that point on went by Jack the Ripper.
And was the third victim, did she lose her ears?
I'll tell you now.
Okay.
So 3 days later, 3 days post letter, I believe, September 30th. Oh no, this must have been 3 days before, after the last, I can't remember. September 30th at 1 a.m. The body of Elizabeth Stride was found on Burner Street, found by this guy, Louis Dimeschultz. Only her throat was cut, and that led the police to believe that the murderer was interrupted. Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
So when Louis approached, so where he, it was determined, so hang on a sec. So that, so sorry, the police believed that his approach meant the murderer skedaddled. But Louis saw no murderer. Police arrived and they determined she had been dead for 30 minutes. Now, I'm presuming Louis found her and it took a certain amount of time for the police to get there. And that's what that's the 30 minute kind of window. So wait for this. So that was all happening at about 1:15 in the morning. 45 minutes after the discovery of Elizabeth Stride, another body was found. So another body was found about a 20-minute walk away from Elizabeth Stride's body.
And do you think...
A 20-minute walk away?
Yeah.
45 minutes later. So do you think that she was... And was she killed before or after?
The belief at this point is that he was... Jack the Ripper was interrupted killing Elizabeth Stride by Louis. Skedaddled, immediately took another victim.
Okay.
This woman's name was Catherine Eddowes and was the second victim on that same night. Her body severely mutilated.
Oh.
And he went at her face this time. Deep gouges and uterus again removed. So, as well as her left kidney. So, the question is why he would have had time enough to do all that. Because everybody was preoccupied with murder number one.
Oh, yeah.
So, 45 minutes late, after the murder of Elizabeth Stride, investigators stumbled upon Catherine's body.
Jesus.
Horrendous. So, and it's here that the police would discover one of the few solid clues in the entire case. And it was a piece of Catherine Eddowes' apron that was found near the crime. So the apron was found by this guy Alfred Long in the doorway of an apartment block near Goldston Street, and it was a nearby street from the murder, from Catherine Eddowes' murder site. So near this apron, a message was written in chalk that read, this is right out of left field here, "The Jews are the men that will not be blamed for nothing." A sign of anti-Semitism was common in the area. However, the crucial detail of this clue is in fact that it was found east of Catherine Eddowes' murder site in the direction of Elizabeth Stride's murder site. So the murder that occurred 45 minutes before. So the weird decision could mean that the killer willingly entered an area that was swarming with cops, aside from, so that, do you get me?
Yeah.
So aside from so this is interesting from a kind of a clues perspective. So there he demonstrated his kind of evasive abilities. So either, like, he in no way looked out of place.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was not a person covered in blood. He was not a person sort of acting in a kind of crazed manner. Perfectly calm, walking along the road individual. And as we go into the suspects, I'll tell you about it a bit later on, but one of the theories is that it's a woman. And if that was the case, she easily could have waded through. Nobody would have ever considered that she was a suspect.
I don't know. Is it misogynistic to wonder if they'd have the strength?
Maybe not. Yeah. I don't know. So later, a postcard is received by the police department, dated October 1st, and written. I've fucked up the timeline here. But you. Right. So those two murders took place on September 11th. I read you a letter that actually arrived the day after into the post office. Remember the letter mentioned something about an apron?
Yes.
And the police find this piece of an apron.
Oh, yeah.
So that is the kind of bit about, I guess that's the connection there to an actual clue. Because nobody would have known that other than the person letter in the police department. So a separate postcard is received. Another person claiming to be Jack the Ripper. Identical handwriting. Again, will we go back in?
Yeah.
I was not cutting, dear old boss, when I gave you the tip. You'll hear about saucy Jackie's work tomorrow. Double event this time. Number one squealed a bit. Couldn't finish straight off. Not the time to get the ear for the police. Thanks for keeping the letter back till I got to work again. Jack the Ripper. So have I? Oh no, I've definitely made a ball of that bit of the.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Story.
No, basically it was Catherine's ears were gone. Although I'm looking at a picture of her and I can see one of her ears here, but maybe he took the other one.
No, it's the day. The day later, a letter comes in confessing to the double murder, apologizing for not getting the ear.
Aha.
Again, information that, okay, yeah, you could be standing around and following the police around and be kind of overhearing information, but presumably they're cornering it off.
Yeah.
So, there is information around the place out there that this postcard was received by the press information or whoever received it the morning after that, whoever received it the morning after the night of the double event. So the thing here is that that's strange is that none of the public knew about the double event because it hadn't arrived into the papers yet.
Uh-huh.
Yet this guy was able to describe what happened in detail. So it seems kind of likely that the writer was the murderer.
Oh my God. The poor thing.
On October...
Sorry, obviously I'm ghoulishly sitting here looking at pictures of all this. Don't see Catherine.
On October... Yeah, let's have a look at Catherine. God love her. Jesus wept, Sophie. She is cut from her sternum. Oh, that's
the autopsy.
Oh.
But all the rest is Jack. Her face is wrecked. Poor thing. She had kids and everything.
Wait for this. Next event, October 16th, a man named George Lusk receives a letter. Lusk was the head of the Mile End Vigilance Committee. So that's a group comprised of local businessmen to assist the police against vigilantism. And the letter was signed from hell. And it was delivered in a box with half a kidney.
Oh, Jesus. Oh my God.
This is a bit of red herring, lads, because the kidney at the time, of course, was believed to be Catherine's. Since found out, 'twas a prank by a medical student.
Oh, God.
What a hideous thing to do.
What a fucking...
But of course it was. Everyone was up to 90.
Up to 90. Oh, my God. But signed from hell is really creepy, isn't it?
Let's roll on a month. October 9th, 1888. the body of the fifth and final, this is a really bad one, canonical victim. Her name was Mary Kelly. So she was found at 13 Miller's Court in her bed by her landlord's assistant who was seeking rent. This is by far the most gruesome murder. This is very bad. There's actually an image, a photograph of this murder.
Jen sent into our group chat that she's thinking of doing this. I had that picture back. I had that picture up in under 15 seconds, I'd say, because it lives rent-free in my brain. And it's,
very, very bad. So I'm just going to get up here a few deets, as I think you'd probably want to know. She was found similar in a way to the others in that her throat had been cut. But there was so much more done to her body. And the explanation is, I presume, that she was found in her apartment.
Yeah.
So he would have had time.
Fucking hell. Like, I can't, how it's, she's so mangled that, like, even them knowing that she died from her throat being cut, like, if, among all of this, how would you even know where to begin with the injuries? How would you even be able to, yeah, fucking hell.
So she is obviously found by the landlord looking for, or the landlord's assistant looking for a bit of rent. And he, the image that he walked into is beggar's belief.
Like, her face is gone.
Her face is gone. She is open.
Between her legs is just a pulp of flesh.
Yes. So like, organs were removed. He filleted parts of her legs and were placed to the side. She had some of her organs beneath her neck, beneath her head. Her heart was missing. Did she have a lung and a kidney kind of placed beneath her head, which I thought was pretty strange. And an absolute, just complete and utter carnage.
Yeah.
But again, it feels, I don't know. She also had her face completely mutilated. Nose off, ears gone. She was virtually skinned down.
Oh.
And if we're to not believe that he took 11 people, killed 11 people, this is the last victim of those five.
Mm-hmm.
And it is by far the most brutal. So the landlord is quoted here after he came in to have a look at, post his assistant. The sight that we saw, I cannot drive away from my mind. It looked more like the work of a devil than a man. And it is very bad. So it can be assumed at this time, or it was assumed at this time, that the real, they kind of had assembled like who Jack could have looked like. There were obviously eyewitnesses of people walking around, but nobody had witnessed an event. Nobody had witnessed a murder. And they kind of assembled various eyewitness testimonials, and they believed then that they could outline a rough visual of this character. So they decided that it was male, between 25 to 35 years old, roughly about 5'5" to 5'7", stocky, with a fair complexion and a moustache. And he was seen wearing a dark overcoat and a dark hat. So Scotland Yard's violent crime command team has said that Jack the Ripper, who you could call evil incarnate, could be described in appearance as perfectly sane and frighteningly normal, and yet capable of extraordinary cruelty.
So, Matt, that's quite like forward thinking for the time, or for what you would imagine they would have thought at the time. Because, you know, the way kind of like, even I feel like that sort of like evil hiding in plain sight kind of idea of the serial killer was still kind relatively of developing novel in the 60s and 70s and stuff, do you know?
You'll see nice, when they start looking at, so I've got the eight people that they kind of pinned or had suggested it could be, that there's a lot of talk of lunatics and people being released from asylums. So that trope was still very much ongoing.
Yeah.
And they begun to lean into it. But from the offset, exactly like you, this idea that it was somebody perfectly average, almost in nondescript, was the most frightening thing for people at the time.
But yeah.
Of course, that definitely was the truth.
And then also, it's kind of funny because with the way it goes in terms of their suspects, there's like also this kind of emergency of conspiracy theorists,
mm-hmm.
like around the kind of royal and stuff.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
So, okay, yeah, weird the way, I suppose it's like every generation, like we behave the same essentially.
Of course. About
a lot of things.
Well, human behavior is the same.
Like, do you know the way people are constantly going on about like, oh, we're in a true crime, like obsession generation. And it's
nonsense.
Like, are you fucking actually joking? People used to attend the public executions as entertainment. It's not just us, guys.
And then the Colosseum existed before
exactly.
that.
We've been morbid since day one.
Okay. So, Sir Melvin McNaughton, the Scotland Yard's head of criminal investigation department in 1903, had general suspicion of who the killer was.
So this is ages later.
So this is only...
15 years?
No, three... you're right. 15 years. All of the murders took place
in 1888.
So by that time, he knew that Jack the Ripper had basic knowledge of anatomy. He thought possibly a doctor, and in his notes, he had narrowed down his list of suspects to three. So that being said, due to an overwhelming amount of compelling suspects and the fact that many feel the official three are not the Ripper, let's take a look at eight names instead of the three. So first suspect was Montague Jason Druitt. He was a barrister who may have had an uncle and a cousin who were doctors. Around the time of his death, Druitt may have been around 40. He supposedly had an interest in surgery himself. He possibly lived with his cousin who was practicing medicine close to where the Whitechapel murders occurred. It also appears that about a month before the first canonical murder, Druitt's mother went insane. So he had written in a note that he feared he was also going insane. In his notes, he added, "From private information, I have little doubt but that my own family suspected me of being the murderer." And it was alleged that he was also sexually insane.
Ooh. Oh, I want more details on that.
So after the final murder, he disappeared, only to be found dead within 4 weeks of the last murder. So his body was found floating in the Thames River on December 3rd,
1888.
So
died by suicide.
We presume. And he was the first kind of suspect at the time. So when I'm talking about that guy, Scotland Yard's list from later.
Yeah.
Was on
it. Expanded list. Or no, his boiled down to three.
Yeah.
And but also, he was that's an only easy... if you fully believe that it's only the five
exactly.
canonical murders.
Exactly. And also an easy hit there.
An easy mark.
Because he's dead.
Yeah.
And you can be like, problem solved.
Whereas like, he'd obviously just had like mm-hmm. a bad old period where, you know, the mum is insane. He's feeling like he might be going insane, which depression can very much feel like that. And then
this funny and then sexual
everyone
insanity.
And your family is like, you're Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
And you're like,
maybe I am.
Maybe I am. Maybe what is happening? Yeah.
Okay. Second suspect,
definitely
this guy.
A bad run of things for fucking Druitt.
I know. Poor God. Well, or he was. We don't know. Second suspect, Michael Ostrog. Russian doctor and a criminal. So he had been in an asylum previous for homicidal tendencies. Asylum, a phrase used at the time. In McNaughton's notes, the Scotland Yard guy, he wrote that he couldn't prove a strong alibi for his whereabouts during the murders. Mm. He subsequently was not charged or convicted. There just wasn't enough evidence linking him to the crime, but no alibi.
Homicidal tendencies is such a funny phrase.
It's just too, like, we all have that.
Well, like, and also like,
it's, you know, too loosey-goosey,
I mean,
isn't it?
Homicidal tendencies suggest to me that you've been violent, but you haven't killed anyone yet. So
where's the crime?
Maybe you only have violent tendencies and no intent to murder. That feels like a
manslaughter tendencies.
It feels like a hard call to make. Is also what I'm saying.
If you spent any time in a mental hospital or any. You were on that suspects list so fucking quick.
Fast. Oh, fucking hell.
And
yeah.
We would have been, like, the three of us would. I'd say we couldn't step outside the door without being. Oh, we'd be pinned
immediately.
Gone.
The three, we would have been a three way kill for each woman.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't have done it on our own.
Too weak and hysterical.
I feel like. You know the way at the time they just, like. Yeah, like gave women orgasms if they seemed a bit like unhappy. And
just be
off.
In that doctor's office night and day.
I'm feeling a little hysterical again, doctor.
So, third suspect, Aaron.
Did Kaz? Kaz looking at me like I've
no. I'm looking at you. How frequently you'd want to be into the doctors?
Aaron Kaminski was a Polish and Jewish resident of Whitechapel. Shout out to Gdansk. Gdansk? How do you say that? Did I say it right there?
Is that where he was?
No, I'm just saying you were there recently, so shout out to Poland.
They're all listening.
Did spend some time in an asylum. So immediately on the list. So he spent time there in 1889 after the last murder. And he would actually stay there for the rest of his life until his death in 1919. He was known for his hatred towards women and particularly sex workers. And according to McNaughton, his appearance matched descriptions provided by police.
Of the super generic man.
Of the super generic man. Okay. Did own a coat and a hat.
Had a face.
Do well on Hinge.
With a face. Had a mustache, which I think was trending at the time.
I was going to say, this description just sounds like a hipster in 2015.
Yeah. Like, this is 95% of the men on Hinge. Does he have a square head and dark hair?
Have a beard and a lumberjack shirt.
And a love from the Jack outdoors. Jones.
So Kosminski would be known to super ripper people. Due to the fact that his name made headlines, he was featured in a book entitled Naming Jack the Ripper. So Russell Edwards claimed that a shawl purchased at an auction contains DNA proving Kosminski is the killer. The shawl was bought under the impression that it reportedly was at the murder scene on the person of Catherine Eddowes, the fourth Ripper victim. Mm. So Edwards enlisted the help of, this all went to shit, but I'll tell you the story anyway. He enlisted the help of this molecular biologist and was like, can you find out?
This is ages later.
This is fucking ages later. But there was a bit of tomfoolery with the, actually, I'll tell you now. So he got the shawl. He found a molecular biologist. He was like, can you prove that this shawl and the blood stain on it is connected to Catherine Eddowes, based off comparisons from one of her descendants. And they also claimed that there was semen on the scarf and that semen was linked to relatives of Kosminski.
Okay.
And he was like, here it is. This is the discovery. And this is the answer. It was him. Now, as it turned out, there was a critical error. And the molecular biologist had done a bit of a typo and initially, right, let's get a bit kind of in the weeds, but the mutation was believed to be named 314.1C, and that is a mutation found in only one in 300,000 people, making it quite likely that it was a match. However, this identification was reported incorrectly and was not 314.1C, but instead 315.1C.
Oh, could happen to anyone.
That is a mutation shared by 99% of the people in the world.
Oh, shit.
So absolutely an error.
Poor old Kosminski.
Very embarrassing. And just a little bit of a typo. And furthermore, the link was unlinked. So no actual evidence there for Kosminski.
What happened to the book, I wonder?
You know, it's, I guess you can just kind of purport to say anything in books.
Well, you can. You just call it fiction.
it was all off, and it was, we're just going to presume that wasn't him. Well, it still could have been, but the DNA connection did not work. Into the fourth suspect, and this is the notion that Jack the Ripper was a female. So there are such a thing as ripperologists.
Oh my God, I really respect their life choices.
Yeah. Super experts at this, and they'll know everything in detail. And they call this suspect Jill the Ripper. And this theory was alleged, it was allegedly a hunch from this inspector, Aberline. So the idea was that all of the police were on the hunt for a man, and they should have been searching for a woman all along. Hence her being able to slip by without suspicion. And they decided that the likely female that would be at this would of course be a midwife.
Yeah.
Which, oh my God, like midwives were really badly treated by like the medical establishment and things like that.
Angry.
Yeah, they with like a lot of mistrust. I'm trying to remember the kind of timeline of that sort of developing, but like it seems to have been like a hangover from like when like cultures would seek the help of like a woman in the village to like
the witch doctor
the babies,
levels,
and then like you know as like you know whatever maternal health became more medicalized.
That'd be a great creep.
Yeah. Jen's like, that would be a great side tangent if you knew any fucking thing about it, Sophie. And back to Jacqueline the Ripper.
So they were like, okay, Jacqueline would know all about anatomical things, and she could travel through the town covered in blood and nobody would have raised an eyebrow.
Fucking genius.
Hiding in plain sight.
Yeah.
It should be pointed out again that all of the eyewitness testimonials points to a man. Although I do like the idea of the female sliding away.
I really do. I do too.
So into the next theory that I cannot quite find. Oh yeah, here we go. The fifth suspect. So this in theory annoys me, but I'll go through it anyway. Prince Albert Victor Christian Edwards.
Okay, I love this one. Why do you not like
it? I don't know. I just got all fuddled up with all the people in the royal conspiracy. This is the royal conspiracy. So this guy, some believe, this theory scoffed at a bit, but it's still perpetuated due to its popularity and it's kind of exciting. So Prince Edward was known to frequent the areas where the victims were found. We're presuming here, and kind of sex work user. He was
like
doing
many of his descendants.
100% so. He was doing a lot of that activity, and that is what led to him contracting syphilis, which some believe drove him to insanity. Some also think that this resulted in Albert having a child with a local woman. Are you with me?
Right.
Then this pissed off Queen Victoria, and she demanded that everybody who knew of that child
be killed.
Be killed. So some believe that.
But was there any connection between the victims ever established?
Not that I know of. They were working women in the area.
Yeah.
And so they probably did know each other. It was such a small square footage.
They probably did know each other.
For sure. So some obviously thinking that this insanity spawned by syphilis drove him to commit the murders himself. And some conspiracy theorists believe that he was never discovered, obviously because royal aides assisted in covering up his identity.
And how certain are they that he had syphilis?
I think that's well known. I think that but it was the case, like HPV now, a lot of people had syphilis.
All adventurous people do.
That's the exciting disease.
Do you remember we creeped on syphilis?
Oh yeah, it does terrible things.
I mean, that's a real vintage creep. Mm-hmm. But you remember, was that creep that they were giving syphilis to people on purpose?
Yes, that's right.
Oh yeah. There was an interesting documentary recently on Channel 4 about bug chasers, people who go off and catch HIV in the queer community on purpose.
Intentionally, to spread it.
No, to get it. It was a really interesting sit down. It's on their YouTube. It's only about 20 minutes long. And it's a man. It's like that Face the Mask series where like the person who's admitting to something is wearing the mask. And he said that the reason he went and did it was because he was so afraid of getting it. He figured if he got it, he'd have it and then he'd be able to deal with it.
Oh.
No, it's That's, still. Is,
I mean, it's interesting.
He's not okay.
There's, no. It's an interesting watch, though.
Yeah.
So the Prince theory or the royal conspiracy is mostly regarded as a bit silly as and mostly because there's no substantial evidence to indicate any of its credibility. But it's pretty clear that the movements of the prince, let alone anybody that the queen would hire, would be easily tracked. He would be clocked moving around. But they easily as well could cover it up. Mm. So it's interesting theory, but we don't know. That felt a bit wild and wonderful to me.
Okay, yeah. No, I see your point, definitely.
This is my favourite theory. This is the sixth suspect, and it is famed painter Walter Sickert. So, if you take a little Google at some of this man's work,
okay,
you will see why this is very interesting.
Doesn't mean I have to X away from my screensaver, Mary Jane Kelly.
God rest
the
her.
Most brutal of all.
So
Walter Sickert.
Germany,
Walter Sickert.
From Munich.
A theory was the main person who pushed this was the famous crime novelist Patricia Cornwell.
Oh.
She became convinced that this guy
was it.
Was it. She made millions on her crime novels and devoted her time then to the pursuit of Sickert as the Ripper. He is an artist working at the time, sort of painting. His work looks like every other person's work of fame at the time. His
kind
specifically
of impressionistic.
Impressionistic, yeah. But there's
but
a lot
figurative
of...
figurative as well, like, if also, that's possible to be both those things.
True.
A lot of women lying on beds.
With their boobies out.
Oh yes, Cassie. So in 2001, Patricia Cornwell spent £2 million buying 32 of Sickert's paintings and letters and even his writing desk in a bizarre but amazing stunt that was described by art curator Richard Schoen as a monstrously stupid. Patricia Cornwell went full National Treasure Nicolas Cage, as is quoted here, and cut up a painting of his in search of clues.
Is she Banksy?
She's fucking amazing. So apart from all the kind of stunts and bits and bobs, Patricia did rightfully claim that Sickert was obsessed with the Ripper. And that was true. But everybody was obsessed with Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
So Sickert referenced the Ripper in some of his paintings. He even titling one Jack the Ripper's Bedroom. So Patricia claims one painting mirrors the body position of Mary Kelly. She claims other paintings mimic the facial wounds of Catherine Eddowes. There are also reported accounts of Sickert cosplaying as Jack the Ripper. You know, again, I was like, it is all on brand for just tomfoolery of the time.
Yeah.
And not necessarily... But again, you're talking about a traditionally trained artist here who would be anatomically versed to some degree. And
did he seem to have the same hatred for women?
Yes, Cass. It's very violent paintings of, you know, it's
I'm
unpleasant.
Looking at them. Maybe they're just not coming.
So there's one, look up Lali, as in L-I-A-T, de, why did I start with this? Lali de Cuivre. Are you getting that? Hang on, I'll put it in our group chat. This is the one that does look very like
Mary Kelly's position in the bed.
And also look at the face is like
mutilated to
looks
some degree.
Right. Gone, but also it's kind of like
it's impressionistic. It's,
yeah.
Okay, so she, Patricia Cornwell, just poo-poos the notion that Sickert's alibi was that he was in France at the onset of the murders. She cites sketches that place him in London in music halls at the time of at least three of the killings. And I mean, it's absolutely feels very interesting and like a kind of halfway decent suggestion to me.
Really? I kind of feel like that one seems a bit she's off on one there. I don't know.
Do you? Well, the biggest piece of her case is her analysis of the forensic paper that was used for the notes that came into the police.
Okay.
And sorry, the newspapers. So this forensic paper expert, a guy by the name of Peter Bower, he identified 3 of Sickert's letters and the 2 of the Ripper's letters as coming from a handmade paper run of only 24 possible sheets.
What?
That's mad.
I hear.
Listen, you can be an expert in everything. So the odds of both Ripper and Sickert both writing letters on a batch of only 24 fucking pieces of paper is very slim. And that is compelling evidence. But also, all of the Jack the Ripper's letters are unconfirmed as well. Mm. Even though my accent was so good. So, look, he's definitely a weirdo.
Yeah, it could be a case of he wasn't. But I mean, why bother? Like I could say, it could have been a case where he was taking credit for the murders and writing the letters, but not necessarily Jack the Ripper himself.
I don't know. Yeah.
But why would you bother with that?
But why would you obsessively paint all of his murders? I guess like...
Because your job is to be a painter.
And sell paintings.
But like that's...
Because it was trending at the time and yeah. You know.
People buy Creep Dive merch. It's the same.
It's the same.
Do buy our merch.
Okay, let's fast forward to the 7th suspect. Joseph Barnett. He is particularly suspicious because he lived with Mary Kelly, the final most gruesome victim of all. Ah. Barnett may have lived in 10 different locations across East London. He was well versed in the area, knew the back streets, and he worked. This is an interesting thing about it. He worked as a fish porter, and it's believed that Barnett.
Is that showing fish to their room?
But no, but like gutting, yeah.
Well, then there's the kind of a bit of anatomical. Oh yeah, I never thought about the knife. Yeah. I was just thinking about the anatomy, but I was like quite different.
Fish and women, very similar. No.
Notoriously.
Notoriously similar.
Same amount of medical research done on the two.
Huge, exactly.
And if he knew her, and like I'd say from my amateur psychologizing of consuming true crime content, her murder would be one of the type described as overkill, and that's usually driven by like emotional, like something with the victim.
Well, you're on the money because he was in love with Mary Kelly.
Oh, I love when men are in love and then they destroy the woman.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So according to an issue of the Daily Telegraph, November 10th, 1888, Barnett referred to Mary Kelly as his wife when in fact she was just his roommate. He also disagreed with Mary's life as a sex worker and strived to make money to keep her off the streets. He is quoted as saying, Marie never went on the streets when she lived with me. You could theorize that he committed the first murder to scare her Mary Kelly off the streets.
Yeah.
And for a time.
Intense.
It's going the distance. So he lost his job.
No one will ever love you like that, will they? Do you know what I mean? Like, not just never. No, like, yeah. No, and like, you can't even get people to go on a couple of dates now. Oh, but like, imagine someone
going to those lengths
to keep you off the streets.
You know, it's something.
If he could, he would, girlies.
It's goals.
So horrendous. But he lost his job. Fish begun to porter themselves. He was annoying in the extreme. And even the fish were like, just fuck off, will you? And Kelly returned to the streets to make ends meet, and their financial struggles led to big rows. And Barnett obviously was upset with Kelly, and Mary Kelly loved gin, and this culminated in one final fight over Kelly bringing home 2 of her mates, 2 other sex workers. And Barnett was very angry about that. The fight got violent, a window was broken. Shortly after, Barnett moved out. And only 10 days later, Mary Kelly dead in the bed. So after the murder, he was questioned for 4 hours. Then he was set free.
Did he just say, "I didn't do it"? And he did. Men were like, "Off you go."
Okay, we'll accept.
They're only women.
Exactly. So he obviously would have had intimate knowledge of the house, including how to unlock the door from the outside. He was also aware of Mary's schedules and her what kind of regular shit she did around during the day. Details from the scene suggest Kelly was killed in her sleep, not by an outsider she invited in.
Yeah.
Because initially you would see the body, know that she's a sex worker, and presume there was a John here that she let in and this is what happened.
Mm.
But no, her clothes were folded on the bed as though they had just been taken off for her nightgown. She put her nightgown on.
Yeah.
And again, there's the kind of anatomical knowledge and the similarity between a woman and a fish.
Open so, and shut case.
Open and shut. He is a definite major suspect.
For that one, I guess. But for the whole thing, I guess. But for like certainly for that one, he could have decided that he wanted to kill her and mimic Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, like under the cover of Jack the Ripper. Yeah.
Do you think your first murder would be that extreme and that insanely gruesome?
And like, I would do anything.
You're a glib bitch.
Yeah.
So would, I don't know. Here's the other kind of weird thing about Barnett. His mates called him Jack. He met the physical description and the psychological profile. And the murders allegedly stopped after Mary Kelly, the last canonical victim. After her death, Barnett would have no reason to kill anyone anymore. His lover was dead, who he was trying to keep safe. And that's the end of that. That feels like the clearest tie. We have a tie there between a victim knowing their perpetrator.
Yeah.
We have a history of violence and the row in the room with the broken window.
Yeah, absolutely.
He purported to love her, called her his wife. That was absolutely not the case.
Mm.
Interesting. Let's go to the eighth and final, and that the most popular suspect. And there's a site, casebook.org, devoted to Jack the Ripper. And this is where a lot of the Ripperologists are. They work together to solve the case. And this is their most
significant.
Well, they it feels like this is what they think. The final suspect, James Maybrick. Ever heard of him?
No.
So Maybrick's death coincided with the stopping of the Ripper killings. He died 1 year after the murders. He was an upper-class cotton merchant who resided in an estate called Battle Crease House in Liverpool. Some would consider this to be a damning detail, ready? So as many feel the Ripper was a local man who likely wasn't upper-class, however, it should be pointed out that all the murders were committed on a weekend. Stands to reason that a wealthy cotton merchant could be travelling up to London on the weekends for a bit of tomfoolery. A bit of, as your mother. What is that phrase? How's your uncle?
Bob's your uncle.
Fanny's your aunt.
Fanny's your aunt. So he could have
been having his jollies on the weekend.
Disappearing off to Liverpool for the weekdays. So he was able to travel on the weekends. He'd a few bob. He would kind of, he would have the benefit of not killing in his locale.
Mm.
But what makes him the most popular suspect is what many consider to be the biggest piece of physical evidence, and that links him to the crime. And that piece, this is fucking amazing. This piece of evidence is a diary reportedly discovered under the floorboards of Maybrick's estate, the big house, right?
Ooh.
And the diary is signed
Jack the Ripper.
Will I do it for one last time?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
I give my name that all know of me. So history do tell what love can do to a gentleman born. Yours truly, Jack the Ripper.
What the fuck?
So this fucking diary was found under the floorboards a year after he had died. And that was written in it. So with the diary are reportedly, intimate details of the killing. So backing up the diary's authenticity are scientific tests that have confirmed that the diary roughly matches the era of the Ripper killings. A diary was apparently discovered by a scrap metal dealer named Mike Barrett. And then the story gets a bit wobbly, right? So Barrett actually admitted once that he fabricated the diary to, and then he recanted that statement, chalking it up to not wanting publicity as he was going through a divorce at the time. A bit shaky in details. Some sources have it falling into Barrett's hands via being handed down by various generations of family. And other sources have Barrett discovering it himself, or Barrett's associates discovering it, giving it to him due to their knowledge of Barrett being an aspiring author. All that aside, if the diary was found under the floorboards of Maybrick's estate, it is a very strong possibility that he was.
Do we have anything connecting him to the locations at the time? Any train tickets?
There's one more object.
Anagram or something.
Yes.
Mm. Was that with him?
Yes. So following the discovery of the diary, a gold pocket watch was reported as potential Ripper evidence. The watch contains scratched initials of the five canonical victims. In addition to the phrase, "I am Jack," and then J. Maybrick. So the scratches were analysed via electron microscope by this doctor, Stephen Turgus. His studies suggest the scratches were not done in modern times. It fucking is him, lads. So another doctor named Robert Wilde at Bristol University concluded the scratches could have been very, very old and were certainly not new, but it's very difficult to be precise. So
yeah,
the watch
can't be like he did that last Tuesday.
Well, yeah. The watch was displayed in a Liverpool jewellery shop by a college caretaker named Elbert Johnson. It's dated 1846, the watch itself.
Okay.
It was purchased for £225, a lot of fucking money, in 1846, I presume that's what that means. But given there was a lot of circus around the main piece of evidence, Maybrick's far location for the crime, it's understandable some have doubts. But it just feels very, very likely, don't you goddamn think. That concludes the five murders and the eight suspects. Who's your money on?
James Maybrick, because there's a detail here that you've left out.
How dare you?
After his death, his wife, Florence, was convicted of murdering him by poisoning.
What?
In a sensational trial known as the Agbert poisoning case.
Well.
So obviously he was a prick.
Or yeah, she knew about his fucking extracurriculars. Exactly. And was like, yeah, well, fuck you guys.
You've given me syphilis a number of times.
And he's got a mustache.
And he's fair, Sophs.
And a top hat.
And a coat. He's got a face.
He's got a coat.
He's walking around.
The I Am Jack is so creepy, isn't it?
Look up the, there it is. If you scroll down there, you'll see the watch. Yes, exactly. There might be a better image of it. But it's fascinating. And therein lies my a vague telling of it. You can find...
That was brilliant.
An unbelievable amount of information.
Did anyone even find these scrapings? Scratchings?
It's just it's just where the diary
but
comes
there's
from.
All the initials.
It's the handing of the diary over in a pub that...
Is the question
for me.
If you want more, you can see pictures. There is some photographic evidence photographs of the victims, if you wish. There is like more theories than you can swing a cat at. It's a very interesting and very frightening case that's never been solved.
Well, I think we're pretty close there now. That's really interesting.
You're right. I think we have solved it.
Well, thank you, Jennifer.
Welcome. And did you come across anything about like the diary handwriting versus the letter handwriting?
No.
I think I'm on casebook now.
the website you talked about.
Yeah. The one I'm on now, they're talking about the watch loads. Oh, look, somebody has very helpfully coloured in the different scratchings to differentiate them better.
It's hard to make them out, but they're definitely there. Certainly J Maybach is the biggest. Where's the Ripper?
Where is Jack? I am Jack.
Hmm. Well, that in concludes our episode.
Absolutely.
Thank you kindly for listening.
Thank you all. We'll be over on the Hive. We're recording now, but you guys won't hear till Thursday.
It's going to be juicy again.
You're giving away the you know, incredibly
behind the scenes.
BTS.
Love you and leave you.
Thank you so much, Jen. That was
God's pleasure. That was brilliant. Fantastic. Bye. Well done.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.